like an hour and 20 minutes, dude. And they fit all no of way. The whole Alabasta arc into it.
There's like, no way.
At one point, literally, it was like a clipped scene, right? It was when Robin rescued Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally just like, that was the scene. It was her, it was not even her pulling him out of the sand, her just standing next to him in the sand. It was it was like you had to assume that she helped him.
Yeah.
it was quite the ride.
Yeah, I know they made one of Skypiea too, and when I finished Skypiea I started like going through it and like trying to see the differences, and they blow through like the backstories and stuff in the movies.
What's like what so yeah, in Skypiea what was it, the Sadaro fight is like on the beach as opposed to like in the forest and shit like that as well, right? Like they're just like, all right, we're gonna go ahead and take care of everything here. Fuck it.
All right, I think we are good to go if everybody's golden.
Yep.
Cool. All right, you guys ready? Let me just make sure I have the chapters for the next one, so I'm not dumb. Cool. All right, I'm ready whenever you guys are.
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1. What's up, fam? Welcome back to the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, a bi-weekly kind of sort of anime manga podcast where we talk about One Piece and we bring a guest on every week. And this time, we have Jack the Bus or iShinobi. You have two different channels. Do you have a preference?
Preference.
Dude, no. I honestly have such an identity crisis because there's been like many points in my time where I've been like, okay, should I just change one to be like the other and just like match? But I really don't have a preference. Yeah.
Is there a reason why you chose two names as opposed to like making a
whenever I started iShinobi, I didn't really expect it to get that successful. So I was just like, this would be like a side thing that I do. And then
no
I
got
more
notice.
Subscribers than my like main channel. I was like, oh, I have two channels that are like the same size that are like different identities. So they're both kind of just me.
All right, cool.
Okay.
So I guess
the duality of man, I appreciate that.
People who maybe, you know, are not aware of who you are. What do you do content wise? I obviously know, but just like let the people know
so
where they
I have
can
two,
find you and things.
I have two channels, like a lot of people, like one reaction channel, one main channel where I do like mostly gameplay, commentary, stuff like that. On the reaction channel, I started on Naruto Shippuden. That's why it's called iShinobi. Did all of Naruto Shippuden. And I've done a couple shows, but I'm currently doing Hunter x Hunter and One Piece. So that's pretty much it. The main channel's a lot of like Dragon Ball type stuff that caught a wave because I don't know if you guys are that familiar with my content, but most of the way I built Jack the Bus is I played the Dragon Ball game and like without ever watching Dragon Ball. So I learned everything that I know about Dragon Ball just playing the game. Some people found that funny. Some people, the Dragon Ball audience isn't super happy. There were some people that were like, Jack, you should just play the One Piece games instead of watching One Piece. I was like, yeah, no, I'm a little bit more interested in One Piece than Dragon Ball.
I can see that.
Yeah, because I had always said I would never watch Dragon Ball. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to play the game.
Dragon Ball is one of those things that like, and people are going to get mad at me for this. Like, it has a story, but I don't know many people who are like, yo, the Dragon Ball Z story, though. It's like, no, yo, those explosions and the planets blowing up,
that's
my
cool
shit. Yeah, it's like the colorful lights and whatnot.
We're here for the fighting, the coolest aspect, and literally him going this color.
Like,
that's
I mean, that's the thing with Dragon Ball, though, is with, I mean, all of us run in anime circles at this point. Like, literally no one ever talks about Dragon Ball 2. Like, you guys will make a reference. Yeah. I've never seen it either, and so I'm just like, I smile and nod, and I'm able to carry on with the conversation because, like, no one, like, actually wants to have a deep conversation about Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Because there isn't really much to, I mean, you can like, talk about Chi-Chi and Yamcha and, like, all that, but, like, let's be honest.
Those sound like food.
Most people that literally want to watch Dragon Ball want to watch people get their ass kicked and people shouted at, all right?
Yeah.
That's it.
My whole gripe with Dragon Ball was just like death was never really that big of a deal. It's like we'll just use the Dragon Balls. Like it's pretty chill. But I've kind of grown like a sweet spot for it, and I get why people like it. Mm-hmm. I just don't think I could ever take it super seriously as a lot of other people do.
Okay, I'm kind of excited that we got you in on this arc then. All right, so let's move into this. So
yeah, I understand why you said that. Yeah. I understand exactly why you said that.
Oh, I was feeling it. So we're going through Alabasta. For those that are new here, we go through and we break things down. So in this one, we were doing chapters 189 to 217 of the manga. We've all made it through the anime, and we're going back, we're rereading the manga and kind of going through and discussing it step by step. So don't worry, if you're new here, if you're reading along with us, you're not going to have to worry. We're not going to spoil you. You don't got to worry about that. We do have a spoiler section at the end, and this one might be a little shorter than normal. Jack is currently in or done with Skypiea, so we're not going to be talking about too much, obviously. Well, nothing past Skypiea.
This feels weird. I'm not the guy that people have to protect now. Yeah. I'm the one that has to be careful. Yeah, like,
every guest we've had on has been ahead of you, I think, so far.
Get away with it.
Yeah. It's dude, weird. I went to Anime Matsuri in Houston, and I went with a group, and like most of the group has seen all of One Piece. So if they saw anything like spoiler-esque, we had a safe word. They would just yell papaya and then just like push us away. And they're protecting us the entire time. Yeah.
It's such a weird thing because it's like you could see so many things that like would be spoilery. But as long as it's not like, as long as your attention's not brought to it, it like, it won't really matter as much. But yeah,
it's like watching an opening, dude.
It's the hardest part about One Piece with it being as long as it is. But whatever. So going in, I need to know before, you know, we migrate any further. What are your thoughts on our boy Bon Clay?
Oh yeah. Dude.
Okay.
Tell us about Bon Clay.
I actually didn't like Bon Clay at first.
Really?
Like he just made me think of Mr. Three. I can't stand Mr. Three, by the way. He's probably like one of my least favorite. But Bon Clay really actually did slowly grow on me, especially towards the end of the arc. I think I started to kind of like him in his fight with Sanji, just because like there was such an even match, and I don't know, just the way he fights is kind of cool. But I don't know, dude. I gained a lot of respect for him towards the end of the arc. He's just a very exuberant guy. He's very electric and fun to watch.
I think that's kind of how everybody felt, right? Because it's like he starts off as this creepy villain flashing Nami's titties to the crew, and then it comes down with like, you know what? Fuck it, we're friends. I'm going to sacrifice myself just to like make sure you guys get away. Well, it's like, what? Damn.
You know he's going to screw you over at first, though, like when he's changing faces and he actually does like the king's face of Alabasta and you know, Vivi notices, like you're like, oh, that's going to be a problem. Oh, like that's going to be an issue later. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you guys said, like the idea that he just continued to grow his own, like, and Sanji's the perfect pairing.
Yes.
By the way, like there's literally no one else he could have fought that it would have made any sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
Dude, because Sanji annoyed me in that fight, though. I'm gonna be honest. Like, he could have won it so fast, and I can tell it's like a worrying trend that Sanji's gonna do this, and like the most like the most like necessary situations, he's not gonna be able to fight for just the reason that he wasn't able to in this one.
That's I think they do a really good job of that, of like pairing up the right people. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously it's planned. It's not coincidental, but like having Nami fight Miss Double Finger, who like, I honestly forgot how impactful Alabasta is. Like being where I am in One Piece and how ridiculous and insane the series gets. I mean, I'm sure you've gone through Naruto. Like you know how things ramp up. Like you're going through the Dragon Ball. Like, and you everything. Know how things ramp up. Right. Yeah. Obviously like One Piece is a shonen, and I'm sure you could put two and two together that it's going to ramp up. But it's like seeing Nami kind of have her first fight and like the way that she struggles and almost gets killed on multiple occasions because of Usopp's.
Okay, that was kind of Usopp's fault. Yeah.
I know, but it's amazing. It's like you're just sitting there kicking yourself of just, Usopp, what are you doing? Like she asked you for a weapon, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he prioritized the party tricks, and I mean, you kind of have to respect it because he's a man of the people. But hey, you kind of have to expect it from Usopp too. It's who he is.
I will say that's like, but he literally builds weapons the same way like his personality is, right? Like he is a continuous build up to getting serious. Mm-hmm. Like he starts off completely silly, and then like it just progressively gets like more serious, and then she finally gets to the weapon part. and like you see the work that that man put into it, and it's like,
yeah, oh, for real, dude.
God, bro.
Yeah.
Well, even like his fight in the last chat, you know, the last part of the arc that we discussed last week of like his Usopp hammer. And it's like, you think about that, and you're like, all right, I guess I'm not that surprised that this weapon really isn't a great weapon.
No,
like,
honestly, that's what I thought.
The man didn't even like, give himself like, a good weapon, right? Well, yeah. even the moments that she managed to turn things around and like actually fight and win and hurt Miss Doublefinger, like she starts doing, she's like, he didn't even know that it could do this. Like she figured that out, which was a fun thing that he like accidentally somehow made like the perfect weapon for somebody like her.
Yeah, people dunk on Usopp a lot, but I mean, yeah, he's scared. He's like, that's his whole thing is he wants to be like, you know, this brave pirate. But I feel like people underestimate how much he can do with just like a bunch of tools and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, the man has some some pellets.
Yeah,
he has like one of my favorite quotes of the arc, though. He's like, even when there's no chance of winning, there comes a time when a man has to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which is
Giga Chad.
Where actually I'm at. Or past a little is oddly apropos for some situations,
Piece,
but
dude.
Like, yeah, it's very like, yeah, and we were kind of talking about this for the podcast, like just the continuous world. But it's like you, to what Ruff said like a little bit ago, with where we're at technically now. Like I'm in the 720s. You're what, Wano at this point?
Yeah,
dude?
I'm 913.
Yeah, so it's
bad, man.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers. And like you feel like, oh, this is like way more serious than like One Piece used to be, but like when you go back and read it and watch it, and it's like to an extent, but like in that particular
They're
moment
impactful.
Like that is the most serious thing going on like in their lives, period, right? And it, you know, it, I don't know, it kind of made it made me like appreciate the situations they were put in that early. And how much they actually had to grow to get where they're at later on.
Oh, I was blown away. Like, I've always liked Alabasta. Going back on the reread, like, I realized how much more I liked it. I don't know what it was, but there's something about it. Like, seeing all of them get over their humps, right? Because it's like, yeah, we've seen Usopp kind of, like, get lucky on the Fishman and beat him to death. You know what I mean? Like, we've had those moments, like... Nami's had some, like, lucky situations where she was able to, like, dip out and survive... But, like, this is the first time I feel like the crew who doesn't normally fight, right? Like, we got to see Chopper work with Usopp and overcome, like, two really strong people. We got to see Nami take on somebody who, like, Miss Doublefinger, who's one of the top fucking dogs in Crocodile's army of death.
Now, I have to ask, I know you guys are a little bit past it. I was talking to someone who just reads the manga, and they said they didn't. Again, this is a little bit past where you guys are, but y'all already probably talked about it. But it was the Usopp and Chopper fight against, was it Mr. Five or Six and Miss Merry Christmas?
Yeah, I can't remember the exact.
I was
numbers,
told that fight was done a lot better in the show than the manga. What were y'all's takes on that?
There's moments, right? Like I think the biggest.
It's the voice actors and the music that make changes.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your toes with that. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. There's just certain moments, right? Like I think
like down baseballs like surrounding him and stuff.
Like we've talked about like one of the biggest moments that we've stood by that like regardless, like yes, I will say there's a lot in the manga that I prefer. Like the pacing, I never was bothered by the pacing. Now going back and reading it, I can kind of see why people complain about the anime, which kind of makes me happy that I read or watched the anime before reading the manga, because I can kind of see it now. But it's a fun experience. But there is moments like the walk to Arlong Park, which that moment, right, you got to watch it. It's just one of those moments where that pacing issue, right, them dragging out the scene makes it more emotional. But there, it really depends on the person, because like in Drum Island, we just read not that long ago, you know, with Luffy climbing up the thing. I know you probably remember it was a very decent amount.
Yeah,
of episodes.
It's hard to watch too, like it's just shots of him and like his fingers bleeding over and over again,
and it carries on.
I preferred that in the anime, but they didn't. They preferred the manga.
I liked it more.
Did you prefer it?
Quick, dude.
Did you prefer it because it felt like it was more of a struggle for him?
Yes.
Because it showed it so much?
Yes.
I can understand that.
That's what it was. I feel like it really showed like Luffy struggling for his friends. And I think it's moments like that. And I can definitely see why that Usopp fight, like having maybe those moments dragged out where like he really does his thing, I can see why people would maybe prefer that.
And I will say this is a personal take. I think Oda sometimes in the manga puts so much detail in that for me personally, I have to like really stare at the panel to like get all that detail
you get
into my brain,
like,
right?
You don't, like, I've had that happen, yeah.
And that like it, that particular fight that you're talking about is one of those where
look for a bit.
There was like a lot, like there was like one panel that was like a lot of holes, and like Usopp was like kind of like looking down into it or something like, and it honestly took me a few minutes. It's like, what the hell am I looking at? Until like I finally realized, oh, like okay, like, and honestly, if I didn't have the anime to like connect that moment back to, I probably might not have still understood what he was going for in that moment. Gotcha. And you know, it's that double-edged sword, right? Like dude puts so much detail into it that you can tear it apart and like dine on it for a week, but also dude put so much detail into it, like it, you know, it's like trying to solve a Rubik's cube without knowing how to solve a Rubik's cube. Like it's just like, that's a lot of colors.
I know exactly.
I don't
know
where they match.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things that it's funny you say that fight, because I was literally thinking that the other day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of the, yeah, thinking about the anime probably pieced that one together a lot better.
I'm reading through a Berserk right now, and I get exactly what you mean, because it's like you almost feel bad like turning the next page. You're like, maybe I should like sit here and just like look at this.
I do that,
like in Berserk, like so, it's so detailed, like every page.
Am I
is
the
so
drama?
Yeah.
It definitely has those moments for sure, like 100%. And like the, not even just Nami, right? Like, yeah, Nami and Usopp kind of had their moments, which they haven't really had prior to this. But even Zoro, like somebody who has had his moments, right? Zoro's out there beating ass every goddamn arc, except for Brock.
I mean, he's coming off Whiskey Peak. So,
yeah,
like,
yes,
that,
exactly.
That was
like
the
taking
Zoro
out 100.
Moment.
But, like, learning how to cut steel, like, pushing through, taking down Mr. One in the way that he did, that moment was fucking gut-wrenching.
Like, yeah,
I can tell that's like one of probably the most important like character building moments for Zoro, only like however far I'm in, like knowing to not just like cut, but like to be able to cut nothing. It's like it takes you a second to sit there and you're like, what does he even mean? Like, what does he mean cut nothing? But I can tell that's like a big building moment for him, because up until that point he had just like swing sword, hit thing with sword, thing slices in half, but it's like more than that.
Sharp, real good.
Yeah.
Like, I think his teacher even said, was it, if the blade cuts, it's not a sword and you're not a swordsman. A swordsman should be in control of the weapon, right? Like, like it's only a sword because you are a swordsman. Otherwise, yeah, it is just a weapon that you're randomly swinging around and hoping to hit something with it. You know, it's the intent.
Yeah.
Is the important part.
He also,
oh, go ahead, sir.
No, see, he also, like, the thing that shocked me the most that I didn't catch it, like, the first time I watched it, was the part where, like, he, like, was able to detect what was happening, like, when everything was crumbling around him, to the point where he didn't get hit, and it was, like, he didn't dodge. He just somehow knew where the things were going to fall.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. All right.
That's like that aura moment. Like he's just like so in tune with himself and like the environment around him that like he's just like sidestepping everything.
Yeah. He was smelling colors. Like, man's, it was a vibe.
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to ask, since we're kind of like in the midst of like all those fights that seem to happen at the same time, did Nami get stabbed in the head, or the Mirage? Did she get stabbed in the head in the anime?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been so long. I did not remember that part.
Yeah, because
I know she got like
stabbed
in the shoulder, but I couldn't like remember the head part.
I'm pretty sure I made that like the thumbnail for that episode. I was like, yeah, that is so violent, bro. Like what? Like that's a crazy shot. I explicitly remember it.
Yeah, they were ruthless. Like the Barrack Works things. Like Miss Doublefinger, and like as the fight progressed, she was getting pissed. More and more angry, because it was just Nami's just dodging her and she's just getting furious. But I didn't realize, like, yo, her devil fruit power is nuts. Like, these devil fruit powers are like, Crocodile had a solid squad. He just got fucked by going up against the
Some of them. You could say that, like, I would say, like, Miss Doublefinger and Mr. One kind of like I don't want to say equating power to Crocodile, but like his had such a big weakness that like I don't know. I think they would equate to an extent. He was just a very good manipulator, and he was just very he knew how to control people, and that's why he was able to get so far with the power that he had.
Well, it's, I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, we've had that discussion before where like Crocodile is actually the first villain in One Piece. Like all the other people are bad guys.
Yeah.
But he's like the first villain. Like he's the manipulator. He has a plan. Like he has a goal. Yeah. You know, and the other guys were like, ooh.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say Don Krieger. I mean, Arlong, maybe you can make an argument for, but Don Krieg, not really.
Mm-mm. No.
Krieg is on my annoying bad guy list.
Really?
Yeah, because he keeps pulling weapons out of his ass, dude. It's just like the Deus Ex like weapon. It's as soon as he loses something, he just gets something else. It's like, come on, man. At some point, we have to pretend.
The only villain I haven't liked up until this point has been Wapple. I could not stand every time Wapple was on screen. I judge people on
if they dislike Wapple or not.
Not great.
The fucking worst. Yeah. Dude, there's like nothing about him that's good.
It's hard to even thinking like where I'm at, like without obviously spoiling or getting into it. Like to this day, I can't really.
He's still
think.
One of the worst.
Yeah, like he's either he's on number the list. One. If I had to really think, like maybe he would move, but he ain't moving outside of top three. No question. Like no shot. Like he's garbage, dude.
Y'all want to know something crazy?
Yes.
And this is movie only, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh my God.
Wapple's got a brother.
No shot.
That's got to be a movie thing. I don't know.
It's movie only. It's only in in the Cherry Blossom like movie. It's
dude, I have to watch that movie just to see.
Don't wait. So Drum Island. Wait until. You have to wait actually a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I know. People said that like there's like spoilers in the movie, like recap movies.
Not all the
apparently, movies. There's one at the end of like East Blue as well.
Specifically the Drum Island movie. They change it to the point where there's characters that you have not seen yet.
It's like meant for people to rewatch through it. Like
it's almost like they picked up Drum Island and put it somewhere else in the Grand Line.
Yeah,
and like
it's like a flashback movie.
They progress through the story like the same way they normally did, right? But it's as if they made it that far in the One Piece story,
and then found
Chopper
the Grand
wasn't
Line.
There.
Yeah. What? So like now just joined.
Yeah. Like Robin.
That's so
like
weird.
Obviously you've met Robin, right?
Yeah.
Robin is but part of the crew in that movie. Like
how does that even make sense?
Exactly. So it's like, but there's more to it than that. So like make sure that I don't know the exact number.
I think he's
gonna
be pretty far if I'm not mistaken.
You just
also
mention it
in there,
one of your fucking YouTube videos, and trust me, you'll get a million comments telling you the exact episode number to wait to.
You'll need to at least get through
500 something, 600 something. Like,
wait, so what is what
at
is,
least post innies?
What is the like
earliest?
What is the movie that is it in that movie that his brother's in, or is it like some random one off movie?
It's episode of Cherry Blossom that his brother's
okay.
in. Like, his
does his brother look like him?
Yeah, yes.
Like, how do we take the worst villain, make him worse? Give him a brother that looks like him.
Brother.
Honestly, it'd be funny if his brother was like just the most normal looking guy ever, like just like a background character looking guy. I honestly would have preferred that.
Like his name was just Steven.
Yeah, his name is Steven. Wapple. He has no devil fruit powers, and he just has like a 9-to-5
at Drum Island.
I mean, he's got pink hair. That's all I'm gonna say. He's got pink hair. He's an interesting character.
That is a level of trivia I didn't expect to get into.
That's incredible.
I didn't either.
That is a really good trivia question.
It's like, what's worse than Wapple?
Guess what? Two Wapples.
Two Wapples. Dude, that reminds. Actually, can I talk about like one tiny thing in Skypiea?
Yeah,
that just reminds me like one character in Skypiea.
This is a fair
warning.
If you're not in Skypiea, skip ahead 30 seconds.
Just the other only villain I haven't liked up to this point was Satori, where like his laugh and everything. But then two more came out, and I almost just stopped watching. I saw two more of them.
No, it's understandable.
Like, I can't do this again. I can't do this. This is my only thing.
I do feel like the enemies get better. I feel like as the show progresses.
I haven't had a huge problem with them up until this point. Like the whole Baroque work agents were like the concept is really cool. So he slowly started meeting them, like like going up and up and up and up. Oh, what's number three gonna be like? What's number two gonna be like? What's number one gonna be like? That was a really cool concept.
I like that. There is one bad guy where I'm at right now that I would cut off my arm to be able to throw them into the fucking sun. And
dude, that's a good villain, though.
Yeah,
it's a great villain.
He's like, is it though?
Is it though?
If you genuinely hate that villain for like what they do,
but the thing is, it's not like
he wants to talk about it. So bad.
Okay, you know how the tough guy always has the friend that actually starts the fight.
Yeah,
like the friend is not tough. He's just the
kind of like a manipulator.
Yeah, they're that, and also they have an incredibly annoying laugh, and so like that doesn't help. I will go on a fucking tangent if that person cannot get on screen without me literally shuddering and just being like, I fucking hate this guy.
Oh my god, dude, some of the laughs are fucking ridiculous, but I think Crocodile, actually, like, thinking about it, he may be like one of the only people without like a
bro weird... He's got an Eddie Murphy laugh. I love it.
Yeah, like but it's just kind of like a
dude, I loved his laugh. I love Crocodile's great. laugh. Yeah,
he's just evil. Like, he's just in those moments, like, I think that was like you were mentioning earlier about like the supervillain thing, right? Like, we talked about it in the last like half of Alabasta, where, you know, Robin kind of shows up and he's like snaps on her and is like, do you want to fucking die? Like, he just threatens her immediately. It's like, Jesus Christ, bro. Like,
after all the years that they
seen what he did to Mr. Three, and like it progresses here, right? Like, I kind of liked seeing Robin kind of like fall in love almost with the Straw Hats, like throughout the arc, right? Like, there's those moments where she's by Crocodile's side from start to finish, right? Luffy shows up, we get Water Luffy, one of the best Luffy forms in all of One Piece. Yeah. And like, just absolutely ridiculous, right? And like, of course, Croc claps his cheeks again. Luffy gets his ass beat so many times this arc, I forgot.
My favorite part about the Water Luffy fight was how Crocodile, like, respectfully referred to him as Water Luffy. I don't remember the exact line, but he's, like, about to find him. He's like, Water Luffy. Or he says it, like, exactly. I was like, oh, that's nice that he's, like, respecting that.
I noticed that, too.
a couple things off of that. I love that they always use a different font in the manga when Crocodile speaks.
Yes.
And so it's almost like you can like hear his voice through the letters. It's so good.
That's cool.
It's just like a menacing font. Like, it's kind of like instead of like a traditional, like, oh, they typed it up, like, it, like, it looks like, oh, he's got a creepy ass, like,
yeah,
to him. But this man, so we had a full conversation in I forgot the name of the art. You know, he was on the scaffold, lightning struck, and Luffy escapes. Mm-hmm. Right. What was that arc? Jesus. Why?
Oh, Logtown.
Yeah,
Logtown. Yes, God. So, yeah. Crocodile kills Luffy twice.
Yeah. I mean, more or less,
turns him
right?
Impales him, and the second time turns him into beef jerky, and he would just straight up die. But randomly, the water that Water Luffy was, like, rehydrated by the water just happening to land on him again.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good question. So so you thought it was, like, a mistake. I thought it was intentional.
What, the lightning? Or the water?
No. So, like, the water the thing. Water? Like, as we were going through, right?
No, like, I don't feel like he did that on purpose. Maybe, I mean, I'm probably wrong.
Because, like, with it, like, when he realized the water thing with Crocodile, and I was like, that was kind of when I realized, like, all right, Luffy's a little bit smarter than I realized. I was under the impression that when he was fighting Croc and, like, that happened, he spit the water up into the air so that it would land on him.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah. I was under the same impression.
Maybe I'm just missing that part.
I assumed it was by accident, to be honest. Like, yeah. I wonder if that's confirmed. Knowing Luffy and Luffy's character, it felt like it was on accident, which is another thing. Crocodile, he's a lot stronger than what we normally see, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a warlord, right? At this point in time in the story, he is the strongest character with the crazy bounty, but yet he and this is where it kind of throws me off, is he not killing, not fully killing Luffy out of like pride, just to like, man, maybe he'll come back? Or because like, it's very obvious Crocodile could have easily decimated him in the first fight.
So I think it's the typical like supervillain thing, but I think it's more so, right?
That's
like
enough.
Think about all the small things, right? Like the clock tower. All right, we have 30 minutes before this shit blows up, right?
Yeah.
Crocodile strikes me as the villain that like, he doesn't want the bomb to go off and then him show up after and be like, all right, I got my cat. He wants to stand at the top of the fucking castle and look down on
everybody. He wants some milk and cookies and enjoy the show.
It. Yeah. And I think that's what it is. I think what it was, because I mean, you got to remember, he left Robin there. And I think in that moment, he assumed that Robin would either finish him or ensure he died. So like, I think Crocodile was just in a rush. Like,
think about Crocodile as a villain, how he plans everything meticulously.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He made sure not only the bomb had a fuse, it had guards, and it had a timer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? He went the extra mile on that bomb.
Yeah, he picked pretty shitty guards. I'm just saying. He picked pretty shitty guards.
Because I'm like, okay, he's going the extra mile for his plans, but when someone is in his way to stop this plan, he's not going the extra mile to stop them.
Well, because he didn't have time to plan it. Right, like the clock tower shit, like he's been planning for years, months, like however long, right? He never expected Luffy to come up and attack him, you know?
Yeah, but he killed him once. Okay, cool, I'll let that slide. But the second one, he evaporated him. But like, he could have easily poisoned, done. Okay, guarantee it. Like, it's one of those where I'm like, okay, I get it, kind of build up. Yeah. But if he's a villain and he's so far, like thinking like 4D chess, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, if they're going to come and stop the bomb, rather than having a fuse, I'll just put a timer on it. Fuck it.
There's a lot of like, that in this arc, though.
It didn't match up to me. Like, kind of
ego.
Kind of bugs me.
Yeah. It might be just ego, but he's like just like, well, I killed him once. I beat him twice. If he comes at me again, I'll just beat him again.
Yeah. That's what I think. I think that's what it comes down to, right? Because
I guess it's like, what's he going to do? Rehydrate himself some magical way?
Well, it's one of those things of like, and are they plot holes? Are they not? I don't know. But like, it is one of those things where
even in SBS, Oda's pretty good about being like, hey, sometimes shit happens, y'all. Like, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't like try to get around. I mean, it's like the birthday things. Like, oh, what's the birthday? Maybe this would be a good birthday for Chopper. And he's like, sound good to me.
Other than that, though, like I love Crocodile. Like when you think about him as a villain, like man's literally
incredible.
So man strategically placed himself in the desert, knowing his weakness for his devil fruit, right? And controlled the dance powder.
Yeah.
Like he had full control over where Rain was going at this point in time.
His cockiness. Of
the success
of that, I think it's that is a big factor, and then the fact that Robin wasn't entirely on his side. You have to think, like, if Robin was all in, if Robin was ride or die Crocodile, it would have been over.
Yeah,
right. Robin could have killed all the Straw Hats back when she showed up on their boat. Robin could have killed Luffy when he was. You know, she could have chose not to save him.
Yeah,
like
not
she
to
did,
save him in the sand pit. Yeah,
right. She could, there's a million different things she could have done. I think that's the issue. Is like, I think Crocodile just he let his cockiness get the better of him, and it makes sense, right? Like we have to remember, up until this point, Luffy doesn't struggle against anybody. There's like we've talked about it before in like a pacing thing, like in the manga. It's not a thing. Luffy fucking one-shots
just
pretty
claps.
Much every single person up until this point. Crocodile's the first person he struggles against, right? So I think it's just a matter of like, Crocodile's like, who the fuck gonna get me in the beginning of the Grand Line, right? Like I think that's his attitude
bitch.
About it. Yeah, exactly. And dude, that moment when Luffy's like, then I guess I'm the eighth warlord.
Yeah,
bro.
Wow.
I loved that moment.
Thank you, Chad. Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed that that never happened. Like, I'm kind of bummed that, like, Luffy never got the invite. Like, I know he would have said no, you know? Like, I know he would have denied it. But I would have loved for, like, him to get, like, a letter from the Marines. Like, Garp, you know, he gets a letter from somebody or, like, any one of the people, like, the higher-ups, like, Smoker. They're like, hey, Smoker.
How do you even contact Luffy?
Yeah, just go drop off a letter. Let's see what he says. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Luffy would have the Nokia into like today's time, right?
Yeah,
like
true.
He would be that guy that has technology. A very simplistic phone.
Yeah.
But I have to, like, for all the credit we're giving Crocodile here, I want to shout out what has to be the biggest group of fucking dummies in all of Alabasta, and that's that Kicking Claw Force, the guys that like took that Fatal Fuel to fight. Dude, Crocodile was like, you guys should just leave. Just leave.
Yeah.
I will let you leave. And they're like, come on down here. And
we're
like,
already dead.
Yeah, and he's like, no.
All they had to do was just not say something. You know what's fucked up about that whole situation? It was so sad and just such a pathetic, like, damn, he did them dirty. And,
yeah.
And prior to this reread, I completely forgot about that moment.
I did too, actually.
I never forgot about that moment.
It happens
anything
quickly.
That's stupid is always going to be seared in my brain.
Mm-hmm. It happens so quickly. They're just like, yeah, we're here. And then he's like, okay, I'm just not going to fight you. Sure. And then they just collapse.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird, right? Like, you were talking about it, and I agree, like, the Luffy thing. Like, Luffy getting beat, like, two times and, like, getting killed two times and coming back. It's a little weird. And then, you know, you have the Pell thing. It's just like, bro, why? And I didn't realize it until you just mentioned it. It's that moment of like nobody dies in this arc, right?
Yeah.
Like all the stakes are kind of thrown out the window. But you're right.
Yeah.
They just straight murdered those four dudes and nobody remembers.
Yeah. It'd be like taking out the Navy SEALs by just going, no.
Do you know the reason he kept Pell alive? Have you guys been told this?
No, is there an actual like reason?
There's a reason.
What?
I was told this because I just got through it. Apparently, this chapter was coming out when 9/11 happened in America.
Oh, I did hear
and
that.
And he supposedly didn't want to, like, that. He wanted to, like, lift spirits by keeping Pell alive.
What?
I know. If you Google it, like, that's all it says. Because when I watched through it, that was, like, what everybody told me. I think that's just an obscure, like, that's so random.
My thing is, like, why not just do it differently? Like, why not just, like, I feel like people wouldn't have been as bothered if, like, they showed, like, I don't know, like, him taking it and, like, you see
chucking
him, like, throw it, right? And, like,
and
he gets
like a
blown
mystery.
Back, but it's far enough away where you're like, oh, did he survive? Did he not?
Yeah.
But it's like, they made it seem so much, like, that explosion was
I cried.
Massive.
It was a nuke. I was like, what am I mourning for? Whenever I saw him alive, I'm like, why did I just mourn that he didn't die? And I was always also very shocked that Koza doesn't die, because Koza throughout, like, I mean, he gets like trampled, shot everything, and then he's just like, all right, guys, that was sick. Let's rebuild Alabasta. Nice.
He's like,
good work, everybody.
I mean, it's the same thing with like Luffy at one point, right? Like, man's literally like collapsed on the ground, and then like the next chapter woke up and was like, hey. All right, I guess I'm good to go. And it's like, they're not going to address man's was like bleeding all over the ground. Like,
I
had that recently, like where I talked about it. And I was just like, bro, I'm like, nobody dies in One Piece. And I just said that. And then, of course, you get the comments. They're like, are you going to forget XYZ? Da-da-da-da-da? And I'm like, important people, motherfucker.
You know what, like, I mean by people don't die.
Like, come on. I'm like, let's be honest here. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, I think even at the time, like, I didn't call it like emotional manipulation, but it is like using the idea of like, it's a fake out, right? It's a plot device. Like when you're doing this, it is like a false emotional ploy to like convince people to feel something extra for like a character that, you know, otherwise, like, Pell was great. Like, I really liked Pell throughout that whole story, but like, you know, like that elevated him, you know, that made his character. Cause like, you know, was it him and, what's it? Chaka? The other guy?
Chaka,
like, you know,
I think.
Yeah. You
Chaka's
had like
another,
you know,
one that should have died. Like,
Well, I mean, so technically like they represent the two, like, protectors of Alabaster, right? Like he's the dog. Pell is the falcon. And I don't know, there was something about the idea of like you had Crocodile, who was such a bad guy, took away one of the guardians of Alabasta, and that's how serious the situation would have been, is that like one of these like mythical characters is now gone, because that's how strong Crocodile was. And now it's just like, nah, like, it's all good.
Well, it's like picket, like you have I'm drawing a blank at his name because I always forget his name, but curly hair, wife looks just like him. I'm sure one of you will know his name. Igram.
Yeah, Igram.
Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, same thing, right? Igram didn't die. Now, in that moment, it's like, okay, well, now, you know, now at the end of the arc, you know, all right, Robin was kind of innocent, right? Robin was kind of fucking over Crocodile. She was saving people. Like, all right, it kind of makes sense that Ingram survived.
That one I was fine with. Yeah.
But it's 100%. Like the other ones, like Chakra, like, even at one point, Crocodile literally is like, you're still alive? And then he fucking stabs him again. Yeah. And then he comes back again.
And at the very end, he's just like standing up with everybody else. Yeah. Sometimes it does work, like you said, with Igadum, but it gets to a point where, like, if that continues, then, like, you're going to question every death. And that's not necessarily a good thing, because you want to, in the moment, be like, oh, no, they're actually dying, instead of being like, are they dying? Are they sure they're dying? Like, are they just going to be back in, like, a couple episodes?
Let me just wait till after this next cutscene. Oh, blow me alive now.
Yeah, I won't mourn yet.
I forget who it was, but they, like, they said it on Twitter, too, where it's like, every time they watch One Piece now, though, like, and they're still pretty early on as well, it's like, I just don't think anyone, like, you go ahead and suspend the belief that something bad is really going to happen, because, like, you think, like, Oda's just going to flip it around on you and just be like, nah, they're fine. Like, it, don't worry. Like, they're coming back. And it just makes me wonder, like, did he do that because he likes the character? I mean, I heard the 9/11. I totally forgot about that. But that half my comments were like that.
My friend's a big One Piece fan, and he says he thinks Oda has an over-attachment to characters.
I think he's a romantic.
What's weird, though, is that he kills everybody in fucking backstories. A backstory's happening, you know somebody's dying.
That's true.
He's going to make you fall in love with them, he's going to murder them, and then you're going to end up in tears. And be like, all right, back to the future.
No one's feelings are hurt in the past.
Yeah.
Like, what's done is done.
Well, that's the weird thing, right? It's like, he's not afraid to kill people off, but, like, it seems like he is. And I feel like he really overdid it this arc. Like, between, like, Ingram, Pell, Chakra, like, he killed off the random four dudes who showed up and existed for literally one panel in the manga. Like, a singular one page. But, yeah, and then you're right with the Luffy thing. Like, I didn't realize how kind of ridiculous how much this that arc was, because it is overshadowed by the hype.
One thing also is Crocodile. Like, he's an emperor, right? Or I'm sorry, a warlord, right?
Yeah.
And he's got, his only strength is his devil fruit and his manipulation.
Yeah.
How the hell did he become a warlord literally just from that?
Yeah. I mean, I always kind of wondered that too.
Like,
yeah.
Like, think about I don't want to spoil or anything, but like,
I think it's a strategy. Yeah. Like, I think it's the fact that he built up this army and because they even admit that the government didn't even know about the whole Baroque Works thing.
Yeah,
I don't
so
know.
It doesn't make sense. That's one thing that, like, kind of threw me through a loop. I'm like, okay, I like Crocodile as a villain. He has really, really good strategic planning.
Probably the fruit. Like,
how the hell did he get to where he is at being a warlord? Well, that's the thing.
Think about up until this point, right? Those types of fruits, right? These magical fruits that basically make people a god, right? Up until this point, you've seen crocodiles and we've seen smokers. And I'm like, I'm 99% sure nobody else with that type of devil fruit has showed up. So, like, it might just be as simple as, like, oh, these are just super strong fruits. And, like, he was wreaking havoc and he was getting a bounty and they were like, all right, we need to fucking get this guy in our shit before it gets worse. And maybe they were just urgent. You know, maybe it was like, we just got to fill this position. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But you're not wrong, right? Like, you think about, like, this rookie, this, you know, low-level pirate, this dude who nobody knows about really, right? Came from the weakest sea, the East Blue. But you're right. He claps. He beats the shit out of Crocodile. Like, he's nothing almost.
Do you think, and I can't speak for, like, later on in One Piece, but I know it inevitably scales up. It had to start somewhere. So, yeah, Crocodile wasn't, like, insanely strong or insanely overpowered or anything. But, like, it was either they start out with someone that isn't insanely strong, or they do, and then it just doesn't, it's not like the story's not able to like escalate. Like, it had to start somewhere, and it had to make sense for Luffy to be able to beat him. So it's kind of more like an awkward decision of how strong can Crocodile be, and how powerful can we make him?
I mean, they've talked about it, right? Like, they've said that like we've had a lot of discussions about the way Oda foreshadows things, and you notice it more and more and more. I'm sure you've even seen it where you're at in Sky Appeal. Like, there's moments where you're like, motherfucker, that shit was
there's
like 100 episodes.
There's
ago.
Moments where something like a line is said, I'm like, yeah, that's gonna be really important in like 500 episodes. I can tell.
Yeah, that doesn't like, change. Never.
There's, there's literally like no spoilers, obviously. There's moments in this arc where a specific character did something, and I was like, oh, that means X, which is something I just fucking saw, and I'm in Wano. Like, it's like things like that. He does that constantly. But the weird part about it is, like, he's been open that apparently One Piece originally was only supposed to be like 5 years long. Like, it wasn't supposed to be, it wasn't supposed to be as long as it was.
That's why. But I just find it so weird because he had the sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but the Shanks thing. Like, when we first meet Shanks in the beginning, right? Like, you see, like, the power difference between him and Luffy at that point in time,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, with the, like, just, he looks at the sea creature, and it's like,
he looks at the sea creature, like, please shut back up. Fucking up, right?
It's almost, like unbelievable that it was planned to only be 5 years long.
Yeah, but that makes sense, I think, what you were saying, of just, like, yeah, like, hey, there's seven emperors, okay, there's, you know, the strong dudes, they're big, they, you know, they're whatever, but you are right, like, it's one of those things, if Crocodile, and that's why I kind of chalk it up to cockiness. Like, I do legitimately believe that, like, if Crocodile took it seriously, he could have killed them. I just think it was cockiness. Because, like, but you are right. Like, yeah, you could have made him five times as strong, but then how are you going to justify beating him? You know what I mean?
Justify beat him or scale up. Because, like, then the next villain wouldn't have looked as intimidating because, like, that you could have been like, oh, well, Crocodile could have beat them. So, like, I mean, Crocodile just kind of had to take one for the team and be not insanely overpowered.
Yeah.
I also, think side note, Luffy did spit out the water. I went looking for
it. Yes. All right, cool. Okay. I had a feeling. I just
so I had to know.
I'm
had
I telling you, bro. My brain was on fire. He's not as dumb as people
on purpose.
Think, bro. He's a smart son of a bitch.
It's literally a panel like that wide where it's just the little his ones. Lips spitting out water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, they do that. So much, by the way, weirdly enough. Like, when Koza gets shot by the Baroque Works dude,
oh my
right?
god, yep.
The in the panel, literally this big. And it's just squeezed.
Is that Koza dying?
So Koza, that was
big. Put a bottle of water to, like, magnify it.
The guy having the Baroque Works tattoo, like, showing, oh, the Baroque Works have infiltrated and pulled the trigger, was fucking the size of my finger. It was just, like, you could barely see it.
Yeah. Can I just say too, for like a secretive organization, it's like the Ninja Turtles having the Ninja Turtle blimp. So they're supposed to be like secret ninjas, but then they have a blimp that says Ninja Turtles on the side of it.
Dude,
like same damn thing with them. Like, bro, like dude. You have a fucking hat that says it.
With Tsuchiya, like when finally she's like she cuts down one of the right. She's like, I don't know what Baroque Works. I've never heard of that. He's wearing a hat that says BW. Yeah. His jacket says Baroque Works, and he has a tattoo. And Tsuchiya like takes him down, and the other Marines are just like, should we wait for She's like, just use you. Just figure it out. She's like, if you think they're bad, just attack them. And it's like, I think you got enough proof, bro. It says it on their fucking jacket.
I think we know how Baroque Works is being funded through all this merch campaigning.
Yeah,
that's how they do it. Yeah.
They bring them on. They're like, look, you could join us. You have to buy a jacket.
Even new members package. Yeah. We have varsity jackets. Members, they're pretty clean. Yeah. You get signed by Crocodile himself.
So the obviously, you know, the important thing, I guess. What are your thoughts on Vivi? And were you upset the crew?
Is this like polarizing? Like Vivi as a character?
I always thought it was obvious. Yeah. I've loved Vivi, and I'm still to this day bummed she didn't join. But like
she is straw hat by heart.
She's hated by a lot of people, and I don't know why. Yes,
I thought she was a fine character. I thought she kind of bounced off Nami really well. Like she had a very similar personality to Nami. See, that's the thing is like. I would have understood why they accepted me. Like, there's a point in time where I actually thought they were going to have Bon Clay join because, like, he was, like, talking about it.
I wish.
But, no, but I was like, no, that would be terrible because, like, you see how chaotic they are, like, when he's on board. Like, they're all, like, zooming. Like, they have, like, dogs like, with the zoomies.
It'd be so good.
They do. They get the zoomies.
It would get so exhausting.
It's like when your friend brings their puppy over and it's like, now my dog's got all the energy.
Yeah. But that's why I thought Robin was a good fit or Vivi would have been a good fit because, like, they're very calm and, like, like centered and like kind of like bring the crew like together. That's why I didn't think Von Clay. I was like, I love Von Clay. This would be disastrous if he joined. But I like Vivi as a character. I think it was more important that she stay at Alabasta too, because that's like, if you like the war gens in it, she's like, all right, guys, I'm gonna go be a pirate. That would have looked kind of bad. But no, I'm surprised that many people don't like her. Like, I think one of the most impactful scenes of the arc is like her screaming at the top of the Ark Tower, like trying to get people to stop. Like, she's so like out of options that like that's like. I think I also read a thing that said like that was the first panel that Oda drew where he cried, like drawing it or like writing it, because like it's such a heavy scene, because like she's so out of options that she's just screaming, like she doesn't know what to do anymore.
It's just defeat, right? Like she's just kind of like, what else is there? What else can I do?
Yeah,
you reach that point, it's like there are literally no other options.
That's why it makes me so mad about the Pell thing, because it is like that sacrifice is
Dark Knighted,
so,
man.
And it's like, don't get me wrong, he's still a Chad. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
all I think about when I see that dude,
Dark Knight. Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's one of my only gripes of the arc. Alabasta is my favorite. Again, I'm not super far in, but Alabasta is my favorite arc by far in the show. Makes just
sense. That's understandable.
The whole longevity of it. Like, I don't know. It felt like it was all building to that. It was like a big checkpoint. Now we're going on to the next thing.
You have like those big sagas that kind of build up over multiple arcs. Yeah.
You're kind of at that point though, where like I think like the next three arcs, you're just gonna be like, that's my favorite arc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that was my favorite. Now this one's my favorite. That happens. Yeah. It's pretty much just what it is. It really is one of those things where I feel like it really does get better. Like, I know there's a lot of people that say like the second half they don't prefer as much as the first half. I don't get that. I can understand, I guess, from the extent of things get more intense. You know, because it's like, it makes sense that it would, right? Like you said, like, that's just kind of how anime works, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, you build up and you build up. Like, anime doesn't just stay flat.
I mean,
because it's
the point of building the world, right? Like, to have these more ramped up, crazier stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think the overarching theme of this arc was? So, like, for me, I felt like it was, like, the friendship. Power of friendship versus manipulation via friendship.
Especially with the very last scene where they're like raising their fists in the air. That was like their sign of friendship.
You know what I mean? Because like if you look at like even like Crocodile and Robinson, like friendship scenario, right? Like
friendship?
In a way, 4 years. I mean,
partnership
via manipulation. Yeah. Like she's getting stuff from him, he's getting stuff from her, right? Mm-hmm. And now she's seeing Luffy and this crew of misfits basically running around the island causing issues amongst all of Broke Works.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets to see like the friendship grow amongst them. Like it's very interesting. Like what do you guys think like of the theme of this one?
I think it's the idea of power dynamics where you have underdog fights such as, I mean, you can even maybe even say like the Bon Clay Sanji fight. Sanji was the underdog there because he was able to switch to Bon Clay was able to switch to Nami and, you know, leaving him powerless in that regard. He found a way to overcome it. Zoro,
same thing,
you know, against a dude who he can't cut through steel, all of a sudden like he's smelling colors and like he finds his way. Then you also have Cobra the King, who you know, even like when he's in the bathhouse, and like I even wrote this down where he's like like when a king is disrobed, he's just a guy. Well, we're not going to talk about this, the other stuff, but
no, we are, we'll get there.
Okay,
in a second.
Okay. But no, like there's like a Bob Dylan quote, and it's from a song called It's All Right Ma, and it's like, even the president of the United States has to stand naked, which means, you know, at some point, like even the most powerful person in the world is just as vulnerable as you know, someone who's you know, very, very vulnerable, right? So you know, at some level we are all the same. And I think it's a lot of that, and like they do that a lot through the arc as well, where it's like, you know, where Cobra, he kept being cool with like, hey, like it doesn't bother me that Crocodile's saving the people. The fact that the people were saved, that's the important thing. And you know, so I think it's a lot of that as well. And once again, Oda having that Simpsons-esque crystal ball of like the idea of misinformation and how quickly that can spread. And apparently, man saw Facebook on the wall and was like, "I'm gonna write a story
this is
about
be a
this."
Problem in the future.
He's like, "This is gonna be an issue." Yeah. But no, that seems to be a lot of it for me.
I would say This is like more specific, I guess. I think you guys got like the gist of it. I would say friendship is definitely the most prominent, mm-hmm. but I'd say like one of like the, I'll say like more sub themes is like living for yourself. And I think one of the main scenes that contributes to that is whenever Vivi was like crying because like people were dying. Like it was like when they found what was the old man? It was Koza's dad. They found him in like just city, like still trying to rebuild all by himself. Where like Luffy had that really powerful moment with Nami where he was just like, it doesn't matter. Like we're in this situation. You just got to do what you have to do. You can't worry about anyone else. We're here to help you. Mm. And I think that also ties in with just like how easily everybody was manipulated in all the cities and stuff by Crocodile. And like, they all were just kind of like kind of sheep to it. They're just like, oh, Crocodile's so cool. And they didn't really think anything of it because he was just taking down pirates and that's all they've known.
They don't question it, right? Like, oh,
to take it on influencer culture.
As soon as everything got fucked up, he showed up and became the good guy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I still, one of the biggest petty dick moves in all of One Piece is like where he kept sending the sandstorm to Yuba.
Oh my God.
Like after every day he would dig that hole. Like,
that's
but I there's like a, for how powerful he is, like the level, like, I appreciate it. Like, you know, man found time in his day to just ruin that other guy's life.
Just send a tornado to him over and over again every day.
Like, he's like, yeah, fuck him actually in particular.
That's why he got defeated. Like, I'm telling you, like, his ego. Cockiness. Yeah. He just let his ego get the best of him and he wouldn't let up.
Mm-hmm.
Dude. So speaking of the bathhouse. And how weird that scene was.
I forgot about that. I'm gonna be honest.
It's one of those things, right? It's in every fucking anime. You'd be almost hard pressed.
It's also weird
to,
when Oda does it, though.
It does a little bit. I don't know why. To me, my issue with it was mostly like it was his idea, and he was like, "Yo, let's go over there." But like, he knew his daughter was over there, so I was like,
"Yeah,
in no way." Like, I understand the mindset of like, I kind of want to see some titties. Just to be clear, I'm not condoning peeping on people, but like, I get the idea of like, I want to see me some titties. I can't wrap my head around why he'd be like, I do want to see some titties,
even if my daughter's there,
so I'm not gonna do it. You guys go nuts, like maybe, but like, it was a little weird. And then Nami. I didn't remember that Nami straight up just flashed them.
Yeah.
That was like 100K berries each. I'm gonna get paid.
I remember watching that moment and like for some reason for a split second in my head, I was like, isn't that his daughter? Like I was questioning it first. I was like, have I been wrong this whole time? Like she's just like a princess, like a somewhat like not related to him. But then I like finished. I was like, no, wait, yeah, that was his daughter. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
My assumption, I like to just imagine he wasn't looking there. He had the blinders on. He's like, only this side. I don't know.
Surely. Yeah.
But it makes me wonder if the Nami thing, if that stemmed, because it felt weird, but it makes me wonder if it was like, well, fuck it. They already saw my titties when Bankai flashed it, so who cares? I may as well get paid.
True.
Yeah.
True. Gotta make some money.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I just don't know. Like, when Oda does it that, like, that blatant, a lot of times it's hard to explain.
I think that's most anime, right? Like, it's one of those things.
Most
where, like,
anime is just like it's blatant, but it's almost.
I just don't know if you should even question the bathhouse scenes.
It's hard. Like, it's hard to right.
And anime in general just never question bathhouse scenes.
I've never been a fan of those scenes. Like it's always just. I don't know.
That was a whole prominent theme. Yeah.
A lot of animes nowadays, like usually, they don't push out the bathhouse scenes to the U.S. audience, anyways.
Really?
Like a lot of that stuff will actually get removed, and they'll keep it for the OVAs.
Really?
But they'll actually remove it.
I'll
audiences.
Tell you right now. Oh my God! I'm watching Fairy Tail right now,
like,
and I have some
bathhouse scenes.
Yeah, I have some OVAs I got to see for Fairy Tail, but like I've been going through Kaguya-sama, the most wholesome shit ever. Like there's no weirdness really. You know what I mean? Like there's some moments, but it's like it's not weird or creepy. I put on that OVA. That shit might as well have been a porno, man. It was I can't even explain it other than like just understand that if you go watch it, you're gonna
serious
be like,
the norm.
Gonna what write the this down.
Fuck? Yeah, it's just
so wait, that's horrible. What's the OVA called?
So Kaguya-sama,
just one. Just look it up. Friendly reminder, by the way, Kage Sama, they are high school students, just FYI.
Yeah. Never mind. What's that arc not called? Yeah. How do I skip it?
But yeah, it was one of those things like going in, I just didn't expect it. But you are right. Like, I think, you know what I think it is about One Piece and why it feels more out of place, which it shouldn't when we think about like Sanji being a main character and whatnot. But I think it's because of how serious it is, you know? It gets so serious with like the politics and the murder and like just the darkness of everything. And like, I think that's probably why when you have that weird, like, let's peep on the girls, it just feels maybe a little weirder than
normal. Out of place, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even with like the post, we always call it like the banquet scenes, right? Like after everything goes down, they're eating a lot of food. Like there's always like that one serious moment during those things. Yeah. And like,
or they're just like, yeah, a lot of people just died. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's like oh my god, I am so bad at remembering arc names right now. But like, you know, Luffy was talking to General Pinwheel or whatever about Nami. He was like, you know, make sure like she keeps her smile. Like there's always like those very specific serious conversations, and it's like bathhouse scene.
Well, yeah, that's true. There wasn't a serious one here. Now that I think about it, like they were scarfing.
I think
and you have
the serious
all the...
one was VV saying, "I have an announcement to make." I think that was the serious.
Yeah. That makes sense. I could see that.
But can I talk about like the main character of this arc being Kadu?
Dude.
I think Kadu was the main character, dude. 1,000,000%.
He's the one that should have been the Straw Hat.
Also, yeah. I thought he died. Also, that was another one that we forgot about. I thought he died.
I was more upset about him than anyone else in the arc when he got shot, bro. I was like, not a duck.
Dude, Kadu's a real one, especially on like on Little Garden. Whenever he wouldn't even rat them out. He's just like, I'll die. I do not care. Like, torture me, bro. Like, bro, what a bird.
One of the best.
Plus, he can run up the side of a mountain.
Yes.
Yeah. Goated.
Which. Just Skyrim horse-esque. It's insane. I do want to say though, like on top of like absolute Chad moments and characters, is Bonk Clay the way he drew him at the end? Is he the actual like original Giga Chad? Like he has like the incredibly strong jaw, like the shape.
He might have been.
If you look at that, like, it's literally the same.
And then Giga Chad.
Yeah.
That's
you
the
look
real question. That's the question, right? What came out first? Was this before that SpongeBob episode?
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah,
because if this was around 9/11,
yeah, it would have been 2000, at least 2001.
SpongeBob, Giga Chad,
or no? I guess this would have been what 2000? Oh no! Pell lived in the manga too. I'm fucking stupid.
I don't know. Now I'm just. All right, so it was Handsome Squidward.
Handsome Squidward.
Handsome.
Episode release.
Oh, that had to be like 2012 or something.
2007? Is that right?
I've still never seen SpongeBob, so.
Really?
It was. Yeah, 2007.
Handsome Squidward is the original Giga Chad.
Huh? Yeah, it was
That's
2007.
That's crazy. 2007? Oh my gosh.
One Piece beat it.
Bon Clay, you heard it here first. Original Giga Chad.
This is breaking news.
I know. Wow. So I think we hit on almost everything, but I did want to talk about at least one more thing. And obviously, feel free if we missed anything, chime in after. The Pluton shit. So they establish that based on Cobra's response, he knew that Robin was lying.
Yeah.
Which means that Robin knows about Pluton, this insane thing that could basically destroy whatever, and she just knows about it. And we don't know shit.
I remember, I think I talked about it when I reacted to it, where I was like, this feels like the first big moment in One Piece that lets you know there's like
a lot more
going on than, just like pirate world, like and what I mean by that, like we were very much past fun pirate adventure with Alabasta and stuff like that, but like the idea of the Poneglyph and like whatever this weapon is and the fact that someone as powerful as Crocodile is like been looking for it for so long and having no clue and needing Robin to be there, and like she's like the only one that can read it. Like that was like, mm-hmm. oh shit! Like there's like a big layer to something else here.
Well, they even said that you could combat the world government if you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just a hint of world building. That's all. Just a sprinkle.
Yeah, just.
But doesn't it make you wonder? Like when is she gonna like sit the straw hats down and be like, all right, look.
That's not Robin's style though, especially from what I've known. Like she's always just been one to like learn things from herself. Like she can like people and she can understand them, but she's just I don't know, from what I've seen, like she's probably the most interesting for where I'm at, the most interesting character to me, just because she understands what's going on and is looking to find out more about what's going on. Like every time she's on the screen, like thinking, I'm like locked in. Like
she's definitely, I would say one of the, if not the fan favorite.
I can see why.
Yeah. She best girl hands down.
But I think I'm pretty sure that was like the only other thing I had. Did you guys have any other parts for the arc before we migrate?
No, I think the Poneglyph like was literally like one of the last things I had written down because I remember feeling that way where I was like, it's that felt like a game changer kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want to touch on Toshigi's crisis of conscience.
That was a big moment too.
I mean, she's been getting beat left and right by pirates.
I know.
In every like thing that's happened so far, like Toshigi's just been getting wrecked.
Mm-hmm. And because she's getting dragged across the fucking Grand Line by Smoker against her will. Like
like a dog on a leash, and Smoker's just walking, and the dog's like struggling around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big moment though, because she's starting to get more and more with this worldview that like things are more corrupt on the military side, and it's not as black and white as pirates bad, military good, kill all pirates, arrest all pirates. It's just like, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, that I forgot that moment where we finally get, like you were saying, the corruptness of it, of the world government being like, y'all are taking credit for this.
Giving
you guys
credit
stop
to Smoker.
Rogue works, but the pirates did. I don't give a fuck. And Smoker, yet again,
King
fuck
Chad
you,
Smoker.
Bitch. Nah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Smoker's sick.
He's one of my favorite characters, I think. Like, and I didn't like, again, it's one of those moments where I've always liked him. But I feel like just going back, I don't know. There's something about his character I've been appreciating more than I did the first time.
I feel like he's just a fly that just won't go away.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the best way I could explain it, is like every time he pops up, you're like, motherfucking Smoker, go away,
You're
dude.
Not wrong, because he never really changes the outcome of anything. He just kind of arrives. But you're not wrong. Like, even in the beginning, right? He shows up. He chases them. Ace is like, nah, bitch. Uh-uh.
He said, and when you become the obstacle, you become the way, so I am important.
I think you might like him a lot because he's, like, the first, I think, like, guy in the military that's not as, like, gung-ho about just killing all pirates. And,
And he's,
just,
like, one of the only ones.
He, Visions of Gray. Things for himself at first. And
is that because,
like,
he's been around for so long, though? Like, I wonder. Because, like, he even at, like, Loguetown, like, he recognized, like the whole scene and like knew to back off, like right as Ace came up. It makes me wonder, like, and that's so interesting that he has Toshigi underneath him, who has had this very black and white look at the Marines and pirates this whole time until this arc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now she's starting to like really have a crisis of conscience and go, wow. Like, this isn't what I thought it was.
I mean, that's what the world is at this point, though, right? Like, with everything going on, like, you know, if you're... That's why it was so shocking when we talked about, like, when Smoker was first introduced and, like, the little girl hit him with the ice cream. I don't think... I bet all of us here was like, yo, he gonna hit that little girl.
I did. I was like, he gonna kill her.
Like, he's gonna knock that child out. And, like, he was like, oh, no, my pants ate your ice cream. And, like, gives her money, like, go get ice cream. And you're like, holy fuck, what just happened?
Yeah,
I'm so not used to one of those guys being nice.
Yeah, because everything we've seen so far from the Marines has been assholes and shitheads. Like
that just seems like you know, going back to like what I was talking about, power dynamics, right? Like that worldview of like, and it comes up time and time again where it's like the Marines just if it's a pirate, it's bad. And I love that that's what Toshigi realized, that she couldn't defeat Crocodile. She had no shot.
Yep. No.
But the one person she had to let by was the one person she should have stopped the most in that moment. Yeah. And she just let him go through. She let Luffy go find him. Even told him where he was at.
And that was such a huge moment right there. Like,
it was.
Oh,
I couldn't agree more. Any final things before we migrate?
That's all
new bounties on this at the end.
Oh, that's How did we not? Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah. Luffy getting 100 million berries. Zoro's and Zoro 60. Was 66 million, I think.
Yeah, 60. I think it's 60. 60?
Yeah. That and
how did we almost miss
that? And I was told that like one of the most exciting pieces about One Piece is like bounty buildups. It's like every time like it goes up, it's like, oh, that's like a big moment. I think one thing that I forgot to touch on was like the soundtrack during Luffy's fight with Crocodile. It was like a really classical song, and it was pointed out to me after, and I went back and rewatched the fight when I knew we were going to be talking about Alabasta. I was like, yeah, I didn't recognize it in the beginning, but like it's a very like beautiful like overture whenever like he's like defeating him, and I didn't realize that in the moment because I was like so focused on the fight. But I thought that was the first moment that I realized that, like, I should like be paying attention to the OSTs more, because I didn't even see like realize that while I was watching.
Crocodile's an intellectual.
As it continues, the OST definitely directs the emotion 100%. I don't think anybody can see that. Mm-hmm. You just get swelled up.
You hear
up
Mother C on, dude, it's game over, bro.
You're like, oh, Mother C's on, I'm gonna cry. That's great.
That's
the go-to, because it's just embedded into my fucking brain that when that song comes on, I get teary-eyed.
Some people are like, oh, you watch ahead, and it's like, do you not hear the music? You can literally probably guess what's gonna happen by the music. It's the same song we heard from the beginning of the show.
They hit the track and you just start looking for people that are gonna die. It's just like whenever someone like gets a backstory, like a flashback right before they're about to die, you're just like, oh man, like
the piano
just
starts coming
ready.
In, you're like, oh, who's gonna
you
die?
Give me flashback. I don't need to know there's a flashback. I'm already saying goodbye at this point, dude.
Maybe we'll get some more flashbacks in the next arc. Jaya is next episode, chapters 19 or 19 chapters, chapter 218 to 236. So if you're one of the people and you don't want to get spoiled, don't worry. Jack has only gone up to Skypiea, so we're not going to discuss anything past Skypiea. So if you're at least caught up to Skypiea, you're good to stick around. This probably will be a little shorter since obviously that's only, you know, two arcs ahead. But this is just a warning. If you are not, if you're reading along with us and you're not past this Alabasta, run away.
Okay, bye. Hold on. Well, not yet. We're saying goodbye to the other people.
Don't say bye to
them. Just put it on mute for the
viewer. Can you tell them where they can find you?
Yeah.
Where do you make content?
Just youtube.com/JackTheBus, twitch.tv/JackTheBus, and then reactions are iShinobi on YouTube.
There you go. Basically. So if you guys want some more One Piece content, because you're a bunch of addicts and crackheads,
I'm big newbie. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Go check him out.
All right. I'm actually really jealous with where you're at, though.
Now bye.
What did I get to experience it?
Now shoot.
So I guess, is there anything, like, now that all bets are off, like, is there anything you wanted to talk about in terms of, like, Skypiea or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying right before this, I actually liked Skypiea a lot more than people were saying. I think...
Same.
I think Crocodile was a better villain than Enaru, but I loved Enaru so much. Really? He was such a funny villain, like just to be on screen. Yeah, like all of his reactions to everything, like I just had me cracking up. Yeah, especially that face. But
because
he's
a god, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
He got lucky. Like Oda has said that if Enel was like in the Blue Sea, he would have a bounty of 500 million.
He was so crazy. OP. Yeah. He was stupid OP. Like, when I first got into the arc, I was like, oh, is it going to be like a Wizard of Oz type thing? And he's not actually going to be powerful. And he has like a beam that he can just like point and do. Yeah, I actually thought it was a Wizard of Oz type situation. But whenever I started seeing him like teleport around and like just changing the lightning, I was like, I actually don't know how they could beat him. But I didn't take into account the whole rubber lightning.
I didn't remotely. I wanted to be a scientist growing up, so I knew that was like
you were the smart one.
Okay. I knew.
You saw it coming.
It caught me off guard. Like, it was one of those things.
Were you just waiting then, Boone? Yeah. Were you just waiting?
I was like, rubber's insulated.
As soon as I saw that it didn't happen
before.
Really? Yeah, see, like, I realized as soon as I saw the face. I was like, oh, I don't even like think about that. I'm just gonna get comments like, Jack,
oh, I felt like an idiot.
You
too.
Should know lightning doesn't conduct with rubber, well, but I just didn't think about
it. Think about Loketown.
Oh, yeah, true, the lightning. Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of like, I wonder if that was foreshadowing or not.
Right? I wonder like, if that is by the way, think about that.
It's going to happen again.
I liked Anaru a lot. He was a cool character. I thought the angels were kind of weak. Like, I didn't like the little antennas they have. I think the antennas were kind of goofy.
I felt like when, like, those guys started showing up and, like, the fighting forces of that stuff.
The white berets.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, like, that's getting, like, a little... I don't know. I felt like that was like a little too many characters at that point for like trying to stay in this confined space. But Skypie isn't without its issues. Like it's like one of the first ones where it's like, I think you even said it was Sotaro, and it's just like,
I've been told the pacing's a lot better in the manga too. People said the pacing for Skypie, and I didn't talk about this during the Alabasta segment, but this also contributed to my worrying trend about people just not being able to die, because Connus's dad Pagaya, like, he gets like beamed down and then at the very end he's just like standing there, like, hey guys, I'm all good. I was coming
about that.
Yeah, but Inaru flying off to the moon was like, it was like a good cap off. And I was shown last stream that there's actually like a little, like, I don't know if it's canon or not, like, side piece story of him on the moon. Like, they showed it to me. Like, there's like a manga section that you can see of his adventures on the moon. That's like not canon.
I wonder if that's the cover story.
That's
maybe
the
cover stories.
Yeah.
Cover stories.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Even like, I would almost recommend. I kind of wish I did it. I know you're like, because I know you were talking about, I think we talked about before we clicked record. Where you were saying like, oh, it might be fun to, like, you know, when you finish the anime, like, go back and read the manga. And I do recommend it, because there is definitely a lot of stuff that I feel like you pick up on that I feel like makes things more impactful. Skypie is one of those arcs where I loved it, too. I really enjoyed it. It's not my favorite arc or anything, but you definitely notice as the series progresses why it's so important. But there is so many things, and I didn't want to talk about it in this one because I just didn't want to spoil anything. But there is, the side stories are so fun, and they just stop doing them. Like, this past, in the Alabasta, like, I'm sure you remember Hachi
from Arlong Park.
We just got adventures with Hachi. Every chapter, you just get another page of just his adventure. And it's just, like, he just adventuring down, like, going through the sea. It's just, like, what the fuck? And that's just stuff that you don't get. And apparently the Enel thing is another one. That is a side story that I guess they show after Skypie is over or whatever.
Yeah.
That you just never get to see. In the anime, unfortunately, like in the early episodes, like if you remember when they had like El Meppo and Kobe and they're like meeting Garp and whatnot, that was one of those side stories because they were including it in the anime. And then for some reason, they just decided to stop. I don't really know why.
See, that seems like a really important like building episode was El Meppo and Kobe, like, so I'm surprised that was originally just like a mini story. I guess it was just because like nothing stupid substantial happens, but still like the character development that's going on there. It's important.
Like,
but
at the end of the end of the arc when the Marines are kind of getting together and they're chasing the Straw Hats off, you have you have Full Body and the other guy, I'm drawing a blank at his name, Django. The last arc we got to see in the side story is those two meeting and how Django basically became a Marine. So it's the same thing. Like, they're these small little stories, like they're not long, like they're a couple pages, if anything, throughout an entire arc. But I would highly recommend, like, if you're planning on going back and like reading the manga, like when you're all said and done, I would almost recommend like checking out those side stories.
I might just actually
like,
then, yeah. Because anything that flushes out the world, I think, is really cool. Yeah. Even if it's not technically like contributing to anything, it still gives you more.
I mean, I would say the one from this arc, the one about Hachi, I would say it does.
Really?
Yeah. It matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. Why do you think they never really adapted
it?
Just because it doesn't really fit in anywhere?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's just like it would have been like awkward pacing if they just had a couple random episodes.
Then again,
like they do filler arcs and you could just put it after arcs. I don't know.
Exactly.
I feel like the cover stories could be like at the end of the episode, right? Like the way they do like end scenes. Like, I feel like you could almost
end credit.
Yeah, you could almost do that in like a couple episodes and probably cover almost the whole thing.
Yeah. Like seeing this one during Alabasta, the one with Hachi, I wish that I saw that before I got to like later on down the line. Like it was one of those moments where I'm kind of bummed that I didn't.
Well, it's like, yeah, if you don't read the manga, I would say check out the cover stories and the SBSs.
Those are funny.
Because like those
peek behind the
I mean, it's literally like they build the world through that sometimes without like
SBSs.
So it's like kind of like a question corner.
Yeah.
Like at the end of like the manga, it's like where people can write in and ask Oda stuff.
Oda
and like literally
things.
It's like, yeah. And like he'll just make decisions based on that where somebody was like, oh, you should make Chopper's birthday like December 24th. And he was like, okay. Yeah. That's his birthday now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally
the,
that
the
happened.
Super,
like
the supersonic duck made... squadron. They're never given a name. He gave them names in the SBS.
Yeah, they're all
like,
named.
Somebody was like, yo, who are they? And he was like, oh, here's their names. And
just
he was
started
like,
picking names.
No. So he was like, he was like, by the way, he's like, this was their names. He's like, I just didn't know how to include
introduce
them.
Them
their names. So I just didn't.
You put that in when you're trying to introduce the Super Duck Squadron.
Yeah. So it's like, it's
cool.
Fun little things like that.
Yeah, I might go back.
Yeah, like he's also just weird. He's confirmed like that Luffy's dick can stretch. And he'll be like, he's like, how, he's like, hey, any part of his body. He's like, how many Gomu Gomus? Well, that's a good question. He's like, one Gomu Gomu is this many meters. He can stretch X amount of Gomu Gomus. Do the math. Have fun. And he'll just do shit like that.
Hey, he's in control. He can decide whatever he wants.
One person even asked if, why can't Buggy float over the red line, right?
Something like that.
Why can't he just
float
his body parts?
And he's just like, well, he's tied to his parts. Like, he can only extend so many, like, XX, like, whatever, chop chop fruits.
Yeah. He was like, he can only go X amount of chop chops. And it was like, well, how much is a chop chop? He's like,
I don't know.
Good question.
Maybe one day you'll learn.
He's a riot, dude. It's like, it's kind of just funny seeing, like, this dude, like,
he just trolls everybody.
Yeah.
That's because he knows people are very, very, very invested, and he can say the most minute things and change everything for people.
Dude, speaking of invested, I want to see if this is confirmed because I've never actually looked it up. Let me double check very quick before I say it.
You're trying to invest it over there.
If I'm not mistaken, let me see if I'm right here.
Is anime being traded on the stock market now or something?
No, it's something about his Oda's daughter's name.
Oh.
I read somewhere that his daughter's name, like he named his daughter Nami.
Well, I mean, like his wife is
what a fanboy.
Was a Nami cosplayer.
Was she really?
Yeah. We talked about this.
Did we?
Yeah. She was a Nami.
Yeah.
Cosplaying
Nami. Oh, yeah. I thought that's like.
And that's how they met at a convention, literally from that reason.
Yeah.
He's like, bruh, this is all I've ever wanted.
He's wifed up a Nami. Okay.
He's like, this is all I've ever wanted.
What a fucking ego on this guy. He created
the character
that he could eventually marry.
That's wild. I can't find the confirmation. Oh, it is. Yeah. Then 2 years after they, I guess, got married, they had their first child, a daughter who they named Nami.
So that's kind of cool.
He married a Nami cosplayer and named his child Nami.
Yeah.
This is getting...
Yeah,
this is getting questionable.
Real, Nami
Soda.
Confirmed king of pirates.
We now know which character will never die in One Piece.
We now know why the fucking One Piece has never ended and why it keeps getting extended, because Oda just keeps fucking extending shit. Like he just talked about recently, like the new arc, the final arc that's coming out or whatever. He's like, hey, this is real. This is where One Piece begins. And people were like, what?
He said that?
Yeah, he basically said, hey, you could start from here because
there's
was the prologue.
No way, dude. No. One Piece Shippuden.
He set up the world for the story to technically be this story.
Yeah,
that's true.
And everything else
was set up. Somehow. I don't know how, but.
I want to say one thing is, like, I was talking earlier about how, like, I can see them saying stuff, and I'm like, that's going to be really important. Mm-hmm. And you guys don't have to confirm anything. Like, I'm not asking you to confirm or deny, but there's, like, probably the one scene in particular that I took out of Skypiea was where Robin was looking at the stuff, and she brings up the dead period of history, where there's, like, 100 years that, like, nobody knows what happened. I was like, that has to be, like, the most important thing I'm taking away from this arc, that, like, this many years happen and nobody knows what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think that's just, that was like, those are the moments that I love, because I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna remember that, because as soon as something's confirmed about it, or as soon as something happens with it, I'm gonna be super excited, because I'm just, it's like in the back of my mind. I love that stuff. That's why I like Robin.
She's definitely like the mysterious, like fun character that knows way more than anybody
else. Than everybody else.
Because that's the thing, is like eventually there's got to be that importance, right? Like she also read the Poneglyph in Skypiea. So it's just a matter of time before she's going to have to. Like, I can't imagine that's not going to be important, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
at some point, her knowledge of these Poneglyphs is going to have to come into play, I would assume.
Oh, one thing that annoyed the hell out of me, though, was, and again, I'm expecting this to be a thing later on, is the goddamn ghost that was fixing their ship. I saw that ghost. I was like, all right, I'm going to sit here the rest of this arc, and I'm expecting it to be revealed at some point. I finished Skypiea, and the episode ended, and I didn't even care that the arc was over. I was like, where the hell is this ghost?
Yeah, what happened to the ghost?
Nothing the whole arc is over. Inaru's gone. They left Skypiea, and I just care about this damn ghost.
That was like the fucking
30 episodes ago. I was so mad. But it's going to be one of those things where I'm like, in 100 episodes, I'm like, that makes sense.
That is it. I'll tell you right now, shit like that never stops. The amount of things that you'll be fucking 700 episodes down the line from where you are now, and something will happen to be like, what? Because you just forgot. You know, it was like that small detail. Like you said, something like that. And you're just like,
yeah, but that's cool. Like it gives you stuff to look forward to that, like a lot of other stuff. Like I think people that are on the outside looking in on One Piece are like, why does it have to be so long? It's like, because I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be 1,000 episodes, but in order to have like emotional impact of stuff that happened that long ago, you have to go through a ton of stuff and go through all these trials and stuff for that to be like meaningful and stuff. It can't be done in 24 episodes. It just wouldn't have the same impact.
Dude, if One Piece was seasonal, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
If every was like the movies, like the remade movies.
Yeah. Honestly, it wouldn't be the same show. It's like you said, it has to be like what it is, or it would have never worked.
Like there's no other show like it, right? Like I know there's always that. There's that massive debate, right? Like, there's, like, the war between Naruto fans and One Piece fans, and it's like...
I wouldn't compare Naruto and One Piece.
No, that's the thing, right? It's like, I'm not saying that, like, one is necessarily better than the other. Like, yeah, I have my preference. I prefer One Piece. But, like, it's one of those things of, like, they're so drastically different that, like, One Piece is... And I don't mean this in, like, any elitist weird, like, oh, it's the best thing and nothing could compare because it's so much better. I mean, like, what other fucking show... Is a 1,000+ chapters,
you can say that.
1,000+ episodes deep, still ongoing, has apparently 5 years left, if not more, and
still pointing back to old stuff. Yeah,
like there's no other thing I can think of. Like, yeah, Detective Conan has been out for 1,000-something episodes, but like that's just like it's like NCIS. Like they go and they solve a mystery and then they go to another and solve another mystery. Like it's not this ongoing, overarching. Whatever you want to call this goddamn series.
If One Piece was seasonal and it had 13 episodes per year, it would take a total of 77 years.
Longer than that, because it's not done.
1,000 episodes. Just to have 1,000. Not even where they're at now. Just 1,000.
Oda would
die. It outlives Oda.
Years.
Oda would die.
One Piece airing. Yeah, outlives him. Yeah.
Dude, that's mental.
Bro.
Oh my God.
Well, that's why they can't, right? Like, it has to be ongoing.
Well, that's what makes me, like, so interested in what the live action's going to do. Because
I'm very curious.
I'm like, how's that going to work? Because, like, some things, they're just going to have to completely ignore some things. Like, if you're expecting, like, a one-to-one thing, like, the way the anime is in a lot of regard, like, I just don't think you're going to be happy.
Yeah, I was doing the math on that, because I was like, oh, if it's 12 episodes, they'll probably cover up to Baratie. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wait, but they already casted, like, Arlong. So that means they're already planning on doing Arlong Park.
I think it goes all the way up. I think it's, like, the entirety of East Blue.
That's absurd.
I'm convinced that it's going to end with them going down the reverse mountain.
Yeah, but that would happen. There's no way that can be like 24 episodes. But Netflix isn't going to order more than 24 episodes.
I think it's 12.
They're like hour long episodes. I'm pretty sure.
That's still not long enough. 12 hour long episodes. That is nowhere near long enough. Yeah, they'll have to skip over a lot of stuff.
It's like, it's also one of those things, like, we don't really know. Like, we know that they filmed. It is 10 episodes.
It just wraps filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just, I'm assuming
this first season is going to be getting most of the crew that we know, or that we know of at Alabasta, more or less. And then I think it's like Ruff said, I think it wouldn't be shocking when they get to the Grand Line. And that's going to be
my assumption. Like, they cut it right before.
Like, I can see like them like going over the hill, sliding down, seeing Laboon, and then
think about it. If it's good, like if they nail it, and it's a good show, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it won't be 1-to-1, and people are going to be mad about that. Oh well, you got to fucking deal with it.
It's
like,
not possible.
You're never going to get a 1-to-1.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, think about it. If it's good, and it ends with they're about to enter this magical fucking place that they've been hyping up the entire season, everybody's going to want to see that season 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a live-action crocodile? there's a lot of characters.
I don't know. They might have already cast him.
They casted Arlong.
I'm not seeing Smoker on the list of cast, though.
I believe. Oh,
really?
Wait, are you sure? Would they just leave him out? There were several
Arlong. No,
just there were a lot of
how they would.
Full body Mihawk, Zeph, Cham, Bancham. Yeah, I'm looking on their wiki right now, at least on the wiki fandom, whatever it is.
It's also one of those things too where we don't know if they're hiding shit. Like they could hide shit. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah.
I hope it's good for the sake, because I mean, it seems like, especially the actor for Luffy is very excited about it. I don't know. I don't like how people like prey on like the downfall of live action anime just for the sake of like most of it's bad, because I think the potential for it is really cool. The potential to see scenes like recreated is really cool, but I don't know how they make an arm stretching not look awkward in live action. I guess we'll see.
Maybe it'll end in Arlong.
I'm on IMDb. They do have someone. They have Captain Smoker option 2. They have not shown. They're not showing option 1.
Okay. Well, it makes
maybe, maybe it's like a big name. Maybe it's Chris Pratt.
Dude.
I heard he was actually going to be recast as Luffy.
And oh my god!
Can you imagine
Chris Pratt? Oh my god!
Chris Pratt, Smoker.
I can't wait till we know more, because you're not wrong. Like, yeah. I know
Vince Vaughn's in this.
We've seen Logtown. We've seen they've shown places of Logtown, like they've built them. But I guess I didn't think about it. You know what it might be? The scene might open with Roger. Right, like the whole like he got decapitated, they killed him, like you know, opening it like that, like, so that might be why we've seen Logtown. So I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they ended the first season at Arlong Park. I could see that,
and like tease Arlong Park, and that's why Arlong's already been casted.
Yeah, because that way the second season would be Logtown entering the Grand Line, and then I guess
like the start.
Maybe to the end of Alabasta. I don't know.
Live action, the Giants in Little Garden would be so cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see live action Mr. 3.
Have you seen their budget? I think it's something like...
Is it absurd?
It's pretty high.
It's higher than Game of Thrones, I believe.
What?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
Wow.
I think it's something like 9 to 10 million per episode.
Oh my god.
So it's 100, over about $100 million for the season.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
The thing is, I don't want them to, like, I know there was like issues with the Cowboy Bebop live action out the gate, and so like it was review bombed like immediately. I don't want like the weird hardcore fans to just be like,
that's the concern, right?
Literally, dude, because like if you are a One Piece fan, understand that this has the ability to reach a wider audience that the anime and manga never could.
That's I was talking about that on the stream. Like, somebody in chat was like mad that it was existing, and I was like, you don't understand, like, people are just gonna scroll through Netflix, they're gonna see One Piece live action, and it's gonna be much more attractive to someone that doesn't like anime, because they're gonna watch it, and then if it draws them in, then they'll be like, oh, this is actually a pretty cool story, I'll start the anime just because I'm intrigued now. Like, it can do so much more than people think.
I think as long as it's good, as long as it comes out, it gets good reviews. Like, the thing with Cowboy Bebop that I think was the biggest problem is, like, yeah, it got a lot of backlash. The One Piece, it's getting a lot of backlash. Like, I'm telling you right now, the live action's getting blasted by the hardcore. It's not, there's no shot it doesn't. But let's be honest here, Netflix don't give a fuck about people bitching on Twitter. Like, the issue with Cowboy Bebop, and we talked about
how many people watch.
When it came out, like, we reacted to it, but we did it as a chill, like,
Patreon. How was it?
Honestly, fun. But we
gave it a shot.
point is like the
go in understanding it is its own thing.
Yep.
Was the pacing weird?
No, not really. The only weird part, and I'm not exaggerating, like we all pretty much loved it when we were watching it up until, like, have you seen the original Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, okay. I've watched it.
So Ed, being one of the most important characters, is just not in the fucking show, right? Except they just randomly shoehorn Ed in at the very end in a way that makes no fucking sense, and it looks dumb as hell. Like,
really?
It is very clear that they got a shit ton of backlash when it got revealed Ed wasn't in it, and they rushed to get Ed in.
Really?
As like a
they forced the scenes
Ed part just felt weird. And it was like, the show was great. What the fuck is going? Why are they? Why did they even include this?
Why are you here?
Because Ed is an integral in the story where like they rely on Ed because Ed's a hacker to get them information for a mission.
Yeah. Well,
for some reason, like rather than that, Ed like calls them and like it just shows up that it, like they're like, hey, pick up the phone, and then they start talking, and then it like the and next scene flashes to show it's Ed.
That's really goofy.
Yeah. But you're like, it doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel like they like had Ed in the story originally. Like they kind of like, oh, fuck. All right, we gotta figure out a way.
Definitely
to,
just shoehorned it.
They wrote it and forgot that Ed existed, and then they were like about to air it. They're like, guys, I feel like we're forgetting something.
Well, the I don't know what it is. You literally don't even get to see Ed until the end.
Yeah, and like the thing is, like Ed and Ayn are like the two pals. Like they're always hanging out.
Yeah, so it was weird. That's like, oh, you brought the dog, but you didn't fucking bring Ed.
They had Ayn, but they didn't have anything with Ed. And you're like, Ed is literally like most of the story and in like the middle parts, like Ed meeting Ed's dad, the chess master Hex. Like there's so many things that were part of Ed's story that they just kind of like put out, and they're like, we're just gonna do the crew.
It is worth a watch.
It's not worth a react, it's worth a watch. Yeah, like if you're just like chilling, like, hey, I got a bag of potato chips, I need to watch something for a couple hours.
Like, you just want like a nice binge night. Like you will leave like, that's fine.
Yeah, you do have to feel for the actors too, like how it got canceled. Like, I can't imagine getting a role for like this anime that you hold so dear to your heart and then not getting a season two.
John Cho is that character, dude. Yep. Like,
he was really good.
Incredible.
Really?
I'm telling you, those first few episodes are great. Like, honestly, they are.
Like, that opening is fantastic.
I loved it. Like, we could not stop praising it up until, like I said, that towards the end, and then it was like, all right, everything's starting to fall apart here. What's going on? And
it's almost like you can tell, like episode 5 or 6, like they saw the writing on the wall where it's like, this may not continue. And then
started leaning towards showing more of the mafia shit.
Yeah,
like that's the whole thing is they told the Cowboy Bebop story, but they kind of tried to tell like their own story going on with what's happening with. I mean,
that makes me, back to the One Piece one, that makes me happy that, like, if you, like, everything we've seen for the live action one, like, that dude is a fucking fan.
I mean, Oda's
God, those are insane.
Okay, I want to ask you, what do you think of the Ram's Head for the Mary
in the live action?
Yeah, have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw the sets for that. I thought it looked good. Oh, wait, people did say it looked cursed. Wasn't it like the eyes or something?
It's like a very like hardcore, like.
Yeah, I thought it looked okay.
Pirate ship, like.
Yeah, I was more just like blown away by especially the Baratier. Like it looked so nice. Mm-hmm. Like I was blown away by it.
I'm the one I like the gothic look of it and stuff like that. Like, I know
it was a little controversial kinda, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People want it to look like it does. In the anime, the live
that's
action.
The thing is, that's always going to be a factor.
I can't wait until they see Luffy's arm stretch.
That's going to be interesting.
That's the thing, dude. Like, somebody
that
was
trailer
like,
make or break. That trailer is going to set the tone. If that trailer is not great, people are going to fucking.
And the
people are going to roast the hell out of it.
You know what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. The first trailer is going to be that tease where it's like you see like a vast ocean, and then like it just keeps zooming in and zooming in. And all of a sudden, like, you just see, like, the top of the hat, and he looks up, and it cuts to black. And it
the trailer editors are, like, listening to this right now, like, write that down.
By the way. Boom Senpai, make the check.
We'll get one. We'll get a trailer at some point.
Not
in an
anime. You write the
but
check.
At some point,
that
we're going
to trailer is going to go so viral, man, of live-action One Piece. That's going to be bonkers.
I genuinely think that the first actual trailer, it has to show his power. Like, it has to show, it has to convince people that it's going to be okay.
It's worth taking seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope so, man. If it's really good, I think that'd be really cool to have a really good live action One Piece.
Because if they got like the CW level of like CGI in that thing,
with their budget, spent, like, no, if it's that much it per episode, not,
yeah. You would it think, bro. Not. You would think
$10 million per episode.
Yeah. Wow. We will see. You guys have any other
got my fingers
things
crossed.
you wanna chime in on before we get out of here?
Oh, thank you for having me on. It was fun.
Dude, I've never, great. We had a blast on. Having you on, dude. Appreciate
I've
it.
I've never
again.
Done
thank
like
you for
a One Piece
coming
thing.
So last minute.
Oh yeah,
that was quick.
I mean, I don't know how much you guys can relate. I'm always just here, either recording, streaming, editing, and that's it. Yeah. Like, I'm just
I
here.
Live here, dude. Like, yeah. I live this area.
Yeah, same.
You literally live there. Well, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Strap in. Remember, Jaya is next. Episode, we will have a guest because we have a guest for every episode. I don't know who that guest is yet, but there will be a guest, and it's going to be chapters 218 to 236 if you want to read ahead, or episodes 144 to 152 if you prefer to watch. So go do that, and we will see you next time. And remember to go into the link in the description box below and check out Jack the Bus or iShinobi, especially if you want more One Piece content, because he's got it. He's in Skypiea.
He's doing it. He's there.
Go. He's there. Harass him in a good way.
Thousand years.
Don't be a
Shinobi.
Dick.
Forever and
I'll
ever.
I'll take harassment.
Forever, 1,000 years.
He's going to take harassment.
Bye.
It's engagement in my comments.
Harass me. That's true.
Feel free.
Like one of those, like, you know, it's like a character people are going